In the second reading for today, it uses the phrase an unbelieving heart. And I think the longer we live in this world, the more, and the older we become, I think we recognize that there are people in this world with an unbelieving heart. Okay? You agree? Yeah. Not that we can decide who's a believer or not, but we recognize the fruits are the result of no faith. Doesn't always mean they're bullies. But we recognize that there's no trust in God. Ultimately, an unbelieving heart manifests itself, reveals itself. There's no, absolutely no trust in God. There is no faithfulness, no loyalty to God. And there's no obedience to God. There can be obedience to society's rules. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That kind of thing. Be nice so you hope people are nice to you. But God does not enter into that. Today's lesson brings up a time in history, and this is harder for us, where people who saw miracles, people who were once enslaved in the land of Egypt, were led out of that bondage in that sense and brought through Egypt over to the river, then got to see God's handiwork in separating the waters, and they walked right on through and the ground was instantly dry. If you saw that as a crowd, wouldn't you go, ooh. Okay, everybody go, ooh. Yeah. Okay? And then they got on the other side, and here comes the enemy. And God ensured your safety, and the waters came back, and they all drowned. Ugh. Right? I mean, who wants to see that kind of destruction? I mean, even though it meant your safety, it's not pretty, is it? Ugh. And then he brings you in through the desert, and you're hungry. And he feeds you. Problem. He feeds you the same thing every day. How many of you would like the same thing every day? Every day. Now, I'm not saying you're getting steak and crab legs every day. It was called manna. Okay? And then they would get quail. When you get tired of it? Yeah. And the people went, ugh. And what happened sort of reminds me of a skit, or a sketch, if you will. It's been done many ways in different times, in different TV programs, in vaudeville and things like that. But the one I remember the most, and some of you won't remember these actors, they were named Bud Abbott and Lou Costello. Okay, I saw a smile, so some of you remember that. And it was the skit about Niagara Falls. Right? Now, the whole story behind Niagara Falls is longer than I want to take, but basically there's an individual who has a terrible event in his life, and the very mention of Niagara Falls, he becomes a raving, mad lunatic. And Lou Costello happens to mention that place. And in one skit, it's Niagara Falls. And this nut, all of a sudden, it's just like a light switch goes on. You know, he starts to tell what happened originally, but it happens to, in his mind, this short, chubby fella is now the same person who did this dastardly deed. And you have that phrase, you know, slowly I turn, step by step, inch by inch. And then I grabbed him and choked him, you know, and he beats the living daylights out of him. I think this, that when people start looking at God in any kind of ungodly way, it places themselves at risk to slowly turn away from God, step by step, maybe inch by inch, turning their back on God, to coming to a point where there's not just disobedience, because we do disobedience pretty good, don't we? I mean, we confessed our sins just a few minutes ago. That's disobedience. But in this kind of disobedience, we get to the point where we don't care. And we begin to renounce God's authority. And we continue in this journey inch by inch to become disloyal to Him, adulterous spiritually, trusting in something else, someone else, anything else but God. Even if you think you're trusting yourself. And the people of Israel in the wilderness did this. They cheated on the manna. They gathered extra when they weren't supposed to. Every time God would just about do something, they were grumbling and bickering and chewing out Moses because God wasn't saving them the way they wanted to be saved. In fact, they were so resentful, many of them thought it would be better just to go back to Egypt and turn ourselves in. It's hard for us to imagine people walking away from God in that kind of way. But if you think about it, we see it today. The Lutheran version of it is, we go to church until we're confirmed, right? And then inch by inch, step by step, our lives become busier and other things take priority and we turn away from God. We're not ready to say, well, God does not exist. Maybe some do. Okay. But we turn away from God. Something else, other things fill our lives. And by that, I mean actually fill our heart. Something else becomes the priority. And when that something else becomes the priority, it costs us. It costs us spiritually. Every idol is expensive. And I'm not talking about just dollars. I'm talking about it costs us our time. It costs us our passion. It costs us our love. It costs us our acts of service. It costs us in our focus. And sometimes it costs us in relationships. And it costs us most dastardly spiritually. Because our hope and joys now waver away from what God says to what something else is telling you, even if it's in your own head. It costs us. So the letter to the Hebrews, you have it on the back of the bulletin. It's not a complex theme. It simply says, take care, brothers, let there be, and let least there be in any of you, an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. Now we know what helps fight unbelief. Repentance, being in the Word, sacrament, right? given to you for the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of your faith, right? And this verse next tells you one more. And it's the one we take for granted. Look at it. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by deceitfulness of sin. What does it mean to exhort? It means to encourage. It means to sit with them. It means to listen to them. It means to not forget them. It means to have compassion. It means to love unconditionally. How well are we doing? Yeah, a little shaky, isn't it? First service people don't know second service people. You know, that kind of thing. Unless you happen to be in the choir and you end up coming to both, right? Yay! See? Unless you happen to be the assistant pastor and you lead worship at both, right? Do you understand? In the years that I've been here, and it has happened more times than I want to admit, and I won't give you the number, people have said, I haven't been in church for 4 weeks and nobody called me. Now, I want to start with myself. I did not call them. I do not get an A in this category. Okay? And that isn't good. But I also recognize that you have a role here. And it's a powerful role. And I don't want you to underestimate it. When I was in my very first congregation, I heard this phrase about evangelism, that pastors are the paid employee and people expect you to talk about Jesus. But a member of the congregation is a satisfied customer. Do you understand the difference in that? If I was an employee of Nissan, since they're real close, and I drove a Nissan, you would expect me to like Nissans, right? Okay. But if I'm not an employee of Nissan, and I have no benefits, no stock, no investment, nothing like that, no family who's employed, and their livelihood is dependent on that, and I still like a Nissan, I'm now a satisfied customer. I'm not a salesman. And so for in our lives, yeah, it is important for the pastor to get an A in this category, and I have not done well. Now I'm going to work at changing that. But I also recognize, you know, before I could ever say to you, you have not done well, I want to admit my own failure and my own sin. And I ask for your forgiveness. And I want to lift up among us that encouragement is vital these days. To have a sense of belonging in the church is more important now than it used to be years ago, because years ago, the village was the church. Lutherans came and made a town. Everybody was Lutheran. If you got married, you had to become Lutheran. You understand? But it's not that way anymore. It is vital today that we acknowledge that we're teammates, and without one another, the team suffers. And just as important as the team is the individual, because they are now at risk, because their absence among us reminds us that they may be slowly, turning step by step away from the promises of God. And they may wrongly come to the conclusion, there's no love of God in this place. Nobody cares. If nobody cares here among God's people, how can I get the message that God cares? And so the power of the Word is first, because it creates faith and sustains faith. The sacraments are second, because they forgive sins, our failure, and strengthen us for the very next steps we take in our life. And the church, God's people, are vital. You recognize the difference if you are running track and there's nobody cheering for you. In sports, they call it what? The sixth man kind of thing, you know? Or the 12th man. Or, you know, on and on it goes. Or we call it home court advantage, because you've got the crowd going, yeah! A little louder than that, but the mic is right here. Do you understand? And when you don't have that, it's manufactured from within. But what happens if that day you just don't feel like it? And I think there are days that we just don't feel like loving and serving and holding on and being faithful and loyal and true to God. We don't want to hold on to the thinking of Scripture, because we like that idea and that idea and that idea. You understand? And God calls us to exhort, not to yell at each other. Oh, no, 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 no. Okay. But talk to one another. I want to give you an opportunity this week. Now, someone who usually is at 8 o'clock may be at second service, okay? I want you to call someone that you don't see here right now this morning. Call them later today or tomorrow. Or in the evening, okay? And say, hey, I didn't see you at 8 o'clock since you're here, okay? Did you go to 10 and 45? Do you agree with Pastor's sermon? If they said, well, I wasn't there, let me tell you about it. He called us to be a team. And I want to be your teammate. I'd like to encourage you in your walk with Christ. Would you be mine and encourage me? Not judgment, not ridicule, not blaming, not pointing a finger, not saying you do it first and then I'll consider it. Okay? No negotiations. Just simply encourage to walk the talk that we say we believe. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for me and all sinners. And I believe that Jesus is the only way of salvation. And I believe that ultimate unbelief, the absence of faith, brings eternal judgment. I believe. And I believe God's gift of faith saves us. And I believe God wants all people to be saved. And I believe that with all my heart that I'm part of God's plan. And therefore, I'm your teammate. Exhort, encourage, love. Amen.